D-Mace Vingan Adonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, by Predators TV analyst Chris Mason. The Predators are back in action tomorrow against the Colorado Avalanche, puck drop at 5, and of course, all coverage here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chris, first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't congratulate you, the pride of Red Deer, Alberta, on Canada's win in the Four Nations faceoff final last night.
Thank you very much. Really appreciated. No, I, that game was unreal. I actually think U.S. was a better team last night, but our old buddy Jordan Binnington saved his best for last and outdueled Connor Hellebuck. But what a tournament. That was just incredible on all accounts for hockey. I think I've never had so many texts from people that don't really follow hockey as much as I did the last week and a half, and obviously with that first game and all the fights and the anthem booing and all that kind of stuff. I think the NHL did just an incredible job. The players bought in. They just went out there wanting to kill each other, and it made for just an unbelievable week and a half.
Chris, the Predators are back in action tomorrow. The NHL trade deadline is 2 weeks from today on March 7th. Barry Trotz figures to be busy. The Predators are out of the race. I imagine some Predators players that fans know and love are going to be switching addresses in the next couple of weeks. I am going to ask you to put on your armchair GM hat. If you were in charge of the Predators trade deadline, what would be your number one objective?
Well, I think, first of all, I think, you know, we're lucky that, you know, we have Barry, and he's very open with what he's doing, what he's thinking, and his plan kind of all along. And I think I think the way that he is kind of setting up what he's intends on doing is probably the direction I would go. I would, first of all, field any and all calls, you know, to try to move any assets and obviously get the biggest return for your assets as possible. You know, contracts and things that are expiring. But if I have a wish list of one thing that I would like to do at this deadline is package up some of the assets and some of the players on the team that some contending teams might want, and try to get a player that is a young player that can play in the NHL, you know, not necessarily a prospect or a draft pick, somebody that's proven already, you know, that you is a good player right now. And in that, you might have to give up something in terms of a draft pick or something like that. But I would be looking for a young centerman if possible. And I know nobody wants to give that up, you know, but that's something I think that, you know, could be a possibility for a team that's trying to, you know, get their depth in order, try to improve at the deadline to win a Stanley Cup. I think, you know, there's some teams out there that could maybe afford to give up that player if they have to, if that's what they feel it's going to take to win a Stanley Cup. So that would probably be, you know, my way of going about it. Easier said than done, but that's what I'd be looking for.
Now, see, Mace, I got two things before I get to my question. One, you got to have the best introduction song ever on this station. You
it's
have
amazing.
The best. It's the greatest. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, your social media post, it was so funny. I wanted to give you that gesture back as you scanned over the ocean and then you give everybody that's watching the old middle finger. It was the funniest thing. So I just wanted to, you know, mention that before I get to my question. The last half of the season now that the break is done, they've had 2 weeks. We know where the Predators sit. This is a team that is looking more so to next season than anything. And with that being said, I know, you know, Barry is the type of GM that you know, allows processes to happen, and then he's evaluating as he goes, and he will make his decision at the end. He's always been upfront about things with the Preds. But do you think that Coach Bruno is in complete evaluation? He's in evaluation mode in regards to, meaning Barry is in evaluation mode with Coach Bruno in regards to, not that he's a bad coach, because I don't think he's a bad coach, but is he the right coach for the guys that you have on this team right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the NHL is all, you're always being evaluated, you know, for what you're doing, what you've done, what you're doing right now, and how you fit in the future. And, you know, that's the most volatile position in hockey is a coach, because when things don't go well, you're kind of the first one that fingers get pointed at. And, you know, when things are going well, you don't necessarily get a lot of the credit. But I think everything and anything is going to be evaluated right now. And he's definitely, you know, this is an important stretch, I think, for Andrew Brunette, because I feel, you know, you're going to obviously move some veteran players. You know, you're going to get younger. You're going to get some more looks at some what's in the farm system and what's in the stable. We've already seen Joachim Kemmel. I expect to see a little more of him, and some other players might get an opportunity as well. And I think you want to see, you know, how your coach, you know, integrates and fits in with the younger guys, and how that process goes. And if he's able, because one of the challenges, I think, when your team goes into this situation and you're not, you know, managing a roster to win, the players don't feel like that. They always want to still continue to win. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, for Bruno to continue to get the buy-in from some of the, you know, the veteran guys and the leadership group and the guys that were brought in here to, you know, quote unquote, win. I think this is going to be, you know, something that's the coach is, you know, really, I think, responsible for setting the tone in that regard. So I think he, just as any player, I think there's going to be a lot of evaluation going on down the stretch. And what's the trade deadline? You said 3 weeks away, March 7th?
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. Wow. So, yeah, I think everything's going to be under a microscope and seeing how everybody responds to this situation. That's what you want to see from your players and coaches. Is it's easy, you know, to evaluate players and everybody and staff and everything when everything's going well. But when it's a tough situation like this, and it's going to take a lot of mental fortitude and commitment, I think, from everybody, there's going to be a lot of evaluating going on from Barry Trotz for sure.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking about the Four Nations final last night, the classic that we saw between the USA and Canada, Canada winning in overtime, and the resumption of the Predators season, which starts tomorrow against Colorado, a four-game homestand right out of the gate. Three games in four nights. So, Mace, I hope you're rested, because we've got a lot of hockey that's going to kick right back up. You're going to hit the ground running.
I'm ready to go. I can't wait, actually. I'm looking forward to getting back and doing this. But I, you know, I was thinking about those guys that played in that tournament, especially, you know.
Yeah,
Canada,
think of just Makar and MacKinnon, who the Predators will be dealing with tomorrow. Yeah, and Devon Toews. There's three guys that the Predators play tomorrow against Colorado. What will Colorado do with those three?
That's exactly what I was wondering. I'm like, these guys are going to be, you know, you come off that emotional high and that physical grind, everyone else got a break, and these guys were out there trying to, you know, kill each other. And, you know, you win the Four Nations Cup and have that big celebration, and obviously the winner take all game and all the emotion that went into that tournament, and then you come back to the regular season. It's going to be a challenge for those guys, you know, to get that same level of intensity, I think, right off the bat. Not to mention that they didn't get a break and get to rest their bodies. I mean, they're going to be banged up, and Cale Makar missed a game, and you know, obviously Toews and MacKinnon played a ton every single game. So it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, obviously the teams that got players hurt, I mean, that's the downside of having a tournament like that. It's not any all-star game, which is, all-star game is usually a joke. So NHL did a really good thing, I think, with the Four Nations Cup. But it'll be interesting to see how these teams handle, because, you know, they're going to go right from Boston here to Nashville. So they haven't been home in 3 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see if they play. I'm sure they'll want to play, or if they're healthy enough to play, but it'll be something to keep an eye on for all those players that played in that tournament.
Right. Mace, you played with Keith Tkachuk, and you know him very well, so you can remember Brady and Matthew Tkachuk when they were kids and running around the locker room. I think it was in St. Louis that you guys played together. So what went through your mind? Because I think that's, if there's one theme that we hit on, because on a show like ours, you know, we can go into deep hockey conversation, but we're also trying to be conscious of where do the casual fans come into this. I think a casual fan had to gravitate toward the Tkachuk family, and that is only going to get this rivalry going. Every time the USA plays Canada now, you kind of need that Tkachuk element, And it, you had it when Keith used to play against Canada years and years ago, but that had to be an interesting perspective for you.
Well, first of all, the last, you know, when I played with Keith, he was such a great teammate and just an awesome mentor for the younger players. It was his last year when he retired. And, you know, I remember Brady and Matthew around the team all the time. And I'll just give a quick little story. They had an Easter party at their house. And that's just 16 years ago, 2009, I believe, was the year. And my oldest daughter, Avery, was 2. And Matthew and Brady, they had the Easter party and the Easter egg hunt. They took Avery around, my daughter, and made sure they were making sure that she could find the eggs. And they had one golden egg, and they made sure that Avery got it. She was the youngest one there. And they're just such good kids, like such well-mannered kids. And, you know, around the locker room, and Keith and his wife Chantel were very just awesome parents about teaching these guys about respect and all this kind of stuff. And now you see them, and everybody, you know, everybody in Canada obviously hates them. And their mom is Canadian. Chantel's from Winnipeg. And I think somebody asked Matthew, what did you ever consider for playing for Canada or whatever? He's like, I'll never play for Canada. I'm an American, you know, through and through. But I think to your point, that element, I think that's what got that first game there when they, you know, went out and fought and set the tone to the tournament and what that rivalry was going to be like. You know, that's something that's going to, you know, bring viewers and new fans to the game, because you'll be seeing those clips for a long time. And every time, especially with the Olympics coming back next year, I think it's just awesome for the game. And I think they're, you know, a couple special young players with their, you know, broad skill sets of that physicality, that grinder mentality, the skill, they've got it all. And their dad and mom did a great job with those kids.
Mace, last thing for you. Let's tie together what we saw in this tournament with what the Predators are facing going forward here. Because I think Andrew Burnett had to be thinking this some. One observation, and you and I were texting, all of us were texting last night during the game, that you see this prolific talent on the ice for both teams. Jack Hughes and Braden Point and, of course, MacKinnon, McDavid, all these guys. Yet, they were contained. Both teams were fairly contained offensively. The game didn't get out of control. It wasn't 7-6 or anything like that. So it shows you how important defense is. And these are both teams that were missing very important defensemen, right? And so I think of the Predators defensively, and I wonder what resonates with Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett. And if you want to win big in big games, you have to defend, as great as your talent might be.
Well, exactly. And you look at Jacob Slavin and how unbelievable he played in this tournament. And obviously not an offensive guy. He can, you know, he can chip in a little bit. He's a good skater. But defense is everything. And it's the old cliche, it wins championships. It does win. And if you don't have it, you have zero chance of winning a championship. And I think this year with the Predators, I think that was their Achilles heel. I think UC Saros has got a lot of slack, and a lot of it unfairly, in my opinion, because it doesn't matter who you are. If you think Connor Hellebuck's the best goalie in the league, you put him on the Predators this year, he's not going to have the numbers that he does and probably go on to win another Vezina trophy. It's just not possible. And, you know, lately, I think, you know, you look at the defense and who you started the year, Carrier out, Fabro out, Lazon's out, you know, you don't even have half of the defense core that you started the year with. And I think that's something that really needs to be, you know, addressed as well. I think I mentioned, you know, trying to get a centerman, but I think, you know, for Roman Josi to have a partner, Cale Makar has Devon Taves, and, you know, Quinn Hughes has Hronek, two guys that, you know, are really good shutdown guys that have a good skating ability and can chip in offensively as well. I think that's something the Predators, you know, another big hole that they need to fill is that. And we've talked about this on the broadcast a lot. You know, you have guys, Adam Willsby's come up and done a really good job. He looks like there might be something there, but still don't quite know. And you look at Blankenberg, another guy that's come up, and it's been a great story, but, you know, is he the answer moving forward? And there's only so many spots on the roster. So I think that's, if I'm putting, you know, priority number one and two, and you could put those hand in hand and flip them if you want, is addressing the defense and the center position. I think that's going to be absolutely critical going into the trade deadline and into the summer.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Chris, great stuff as always. We're glad to see you back on the call with Willie tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Chris Mason joining us. Predators back in action tomorrow against the Avalanche at Bridgestone Arena. 5 o'clock puck drop. Of course, you can listen to that right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up next, we've spent so much time talking about quarterbacks. Let's focus on another position, a position that Derek Mason knows quite a bit about. We'll talk wide receivers coming up next. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.